What is the second tithe used for? Question number 103. To what purposes is the second tithe put? Answer. To promote the assembling of the people for religious service, as well as to provide for the poor, a second tithe of all the increase was required. Concerning the first tithe, the Lord had declared, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel. But in regard to the second, he commanded, Thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds, and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. This tithe, or its equivalent in money, they were for 2 years, to bring to the place where the sanctuary was established. After presenting a thank offering to God, and a specified portion to the priest, the offerers were to use the remainder for a religious feast, in which the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow should participate. Thus provision was made for the thank offerings and feasts at the yearly festivals, and the people were drawn to the society of the priests and Levites, that they might receive instruction and encouragement in the service of God. Every third year, however, the second tithe was to be used at home, in entertaining the Levite and the poor, as Moses said, that they may eat within thy gates, and be filled. This tithe would provide a fund for the uses of charity and hospitality. And further provision was made for the poor. There is nothing, after their recognition of the claims of God, that more distinguishes the laws given by Moses, and the liberal, tender, and hospitable spirit enjoined toward the poor. Although God had promised greatly to bless his people, it was not his design that poverty should be wholly unknown among them. He declared that the poor should never cease out of the land. There would ever be those among his people who would call in to exercise their sympathy, tenderness, and benevolence. Then, as now, persons were subject to misfortune, sickness, and loss of property, yet so long as they followed the instruction given by God, there were no beggars among them, neither any who suffered for food. The law of God gave the poor a right to a certain portion of the produce of the soil. When hungry, a man was at liberty to go to his neighbor's field or orchard or vineyard and eat of the grain or fruit to satisfy his hunger. It was in accordance with this permission that the disciples of Jesus plucked and ate of the standing grain as they passed through a field upon the Sabbath day. All the gleanings of harvest field, orchard, and vineyard belonged to the poor. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, said Moses, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Every seventh year, special provision was made for the poor. The sabbatical year, as it was called, began at the end of the harvest. At the seed time, which followed the ingathering, the people were not to sow, they should not dress the vineyard in the spring, and they must expect neither harvest nor vintage. Of that which the land produced spontaneously, they might eat while fresh, but they were not to lay up any portion of it in their storehouses. The yield of this year was to be free for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and even for the creatures of the field. But if the land ordinarily produced only enough to supply the wants of the people, how were they to subsist during the year, when no crops were gathered? For this the promise of God made ample provision. I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, he said, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the eighth year, and eat yet of old fruit until the ninth year, until her fruits come and ye shall eat of the old store. Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 530, 531. So the second tithe, while on a more voluntary basis, and the first, is just as important, and is actually a divinely ordained, long-range contribution to one's own welfare. At present it constitutes our general offerings. Formerly it was used to forward our academy work, and to pay some of its back debts. But now, as the association grows and expands, the use of the second tithe is likewise widening. In the first place, it now takes care of that part of the educational work for which the first tithe cannot legitimately be used. And in the second place, it takes care of the needs of the worthy poor. In short, it is actually the original and only true mutual insurance policy, and should be carried by all Davidians who are eligibly holding the certificate of fellowship. So while it is imperative that all present truth believers avail themselves to this certificate of fellowship, it is even more urgent that all such should be first and second tithers, because if a certificate of fellowship is extended to those who could be, but are not such tithers, they would become not only a demoralizing influence among believers, but also deadly parasites in their midst. For this obvious reason, the association is therefore obliged to grant the certificate of fellowship only to full-fledged believers and cheerful doers of the word. In cases where it is impossible to pay a full second tithe, then, of course, a part is acceptable. The denomination's neglect to care for its members, a dereliction for which it is under heavy condemnation, should be a stern lesson to all of us that we as reformers and message bearers dare not fail. Privileged to build the old wastes, to raise up the former desolations, and to repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations, Isaiah 61:4. We must, if necessary, tax every nerve and stretch every muscle in order to comply with the Lord's wishes. And more so in this respect, because it is for the material as well as the spiritual benefit of each one of us. It is a foolproof economic plan, part of the balanced program given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai, and long neglected and obscured. As such, it is one of the divine institutions, Prophets and Kings, page 678, that must be restored before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Let us therefore honestly and intelligently ask ourselves the questions: if we fall on the world's charity organizations or on the world's insurance companies, then how can we Davidians be the pillars of the church and thus of the world? And has the Lord appointed the church or the world to care for His peculiar people? If we, as saviors, cannot take care of the needs of those who are in the world, then the least we can do is to take care of our own. There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but attendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Proverbs 11:24, 25. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest, and have nothing. Proverbs 24. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee, and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. Deuteronomy 28:1-13.